had another conversion. Introducing Rabbi Menachem Liebtag on a Friday morning, 8:30, as we go through Tanakh. Yeshayahu or
Jeremiah? We're going to do today the connection between Yirmiyahu in the middle of and Purim. Why shouldn't they be connected?
Yirmiyahu and who?
And Purim.
And Purim.
Yeah. Why should they not be connected?
Well, they should be connected. Because they're going into the
loop. Purim came later, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Purim might be related to Yirmiyahu, but of course, is Yirmiyahu related to Purim? I mean, sort of.
Well, doesn't Koresh sort of quote building the Beit HaMikdash because of the Navi, the Nevuah of Yirmiyahu?
I mean, Koresh himself doesn't, but yeah. The Navi in the Book of Ezra, not really, whoever redacted the Book of Ezra, certainly relates certainly relates Koresh to Yirmiyahu's.
Doesn't the end of Chronicles, the very last part of Chronicles, where Koresh says, go back because I'm going to... God spoke to me to tell me that you should go back?
That's the Book of Chronicles putting words in Koresh's mouth. We know what Koresh said. He talked about a guy named Marduk. And didn't just let the Jews go back and build a temple. He let everyone go back and build the temples, according to the Cyrus Cylinder. And in Yeshayahu it says, like second Isaiah it talks about that, he says that, I'm the one who inspired Koresh, but he has no idea who I am. We'll read that soon. Just one quick question. According to the Megillah, how are we supposed to celebrate Purim?
How?
What are the main laws of Purim?
Nothing outside of doing.
Eating.
There's a Yom Mishteh Simcha.
Yeah.
From Edel to Yom Tov.
Giving gifts.
Is there any precedent from any of those in any other holiday? I mean, every there's Simcha Yom Tov everywhere, but Mishteh Simcha, I think, is unique to. I'm not mistaken. Now, there's a din of Simcha Yom Tov, but the day of Mishteh. Now, Mishloach Manot Ishul Re'ehu is nowhere. Matot Levyonim, you have.
Why, except for Megillah.
Right? Except for Megillah, that's my point. The question is, now, these are special laws, and the question is, what do they have to do with the story of Purim?
That's what was going on in Paraskin.
What are we celebrating the party that Ahasuerus had in the beginning? I mean, there's a party theme from the beginning of the Megillah.
Several parties.
Several parties. There's parties
it was a celebration of the Jews after they...
That the Megillah then said, what you're doing is you're bringing rabbinic interpretation. What I want to do today is understand the source of that rabbinic interpretation, which is called Midrash, which is that what it means. It means it's not historical, but it's insightful, with both an S and a C. You see
what? What do you call it?
Insightful.
Insightful. Made,
like the insight with the C. It's insightful. Like politics.
Right.
And insightful means he gives insight with S. Yeah, S-H-I-T. Makes sense. So I want to begin with something which has to do with Yirmiyahu's Nevuot of Nechama. He's known for that, isn't he? Now, we'll open a Perek Lamed in Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu Perek Lamed. Three lines. Nice and easy. הדבר אשר ירמיהו מאת השם לאמור כל אמר השם אלי ישראל לאמור כתוב לך את הדברים אשר דיברתי אליך על ספר write down what I've told you in a book לאמור כי הנה ימים באים נאמר השם ושבתי את שבות עמי ישראל ויהודה אמר השם ושבתי מהארץ אשר נתתי לאבותם מראש write down what I told you why? Because I'm going to bring my nation back
but everyone's
going to
forget
it
if you don't write it down
write what down? So most people think Pasuk Dalet, Vei Adver Meshir Diber Hashem Yisrael Yehuda, and that starts Perek Lamed, which goes to Lamed Aleph, which is the famous Haben Yakir Li Ephraim, Rechem Avakal Baneh, B'Shem Avanim Likvulam. We read this on Rosh Hashanah Haftarah. It's one of the most beautiful Haftarot. It's like it's a masterpiece. If you know, prophetic poetry. We know half of it by heart from Rosh Hashanah, from Rosh Hashanah Davening, from Haftarah. But it talks about Shivat Zion, isn't it? Now, why is it important to know that there'll be Shivat Zion?
You know who's hope on you in the loop?
It's called Tikva. So people should give up. Okay. What I want to show you is the main reason we're writing down is not only for Tikva, it's for Tshuva. Because I want to go back and say The first lines in Paraklamet are going backwards to the Parak right beforehand. Let's see why. Because he says, it's unique to write down what I wrote because the time is coming and I'm bringing back the exile. But what I want to show you that this is important because return to Israel is a two-way street. Got my point? And I want to prove it. The Navi doesn't just need to tell people that one day God's going to bring you back. Sit back and wait patiently, but rather, one day God's going to bring you back, but when he does bring you back, you better be ready. If you're not ready, it's not going to work. And that's a whole different ballgame. And that's a different Tfisat Chaim.
No. Meaning you better be ready before or after?
Yes.
Okay.
We'll see both.
Well, ready for what?
That's what we have to see.
That's basically what the Haredim are saying. That they're not ready.
Yeah, that's what they said in Europe, yeah. But we'll see. We'll see both. Now look. Look in the beginning of Parakhaptet. Everyone in Parakhaptet? Remember we talked about the different stages in Yirmiyahu's life? There was the Reshit Tzmichat Gulotenu in the time of Yoshiel, you know, Ashur fallen, everything's going great, Israel's going to be great again, the kingdom grows, a lot of ten tribes come back, we're living in the whole land again, army's great again, our economy's good, before the market crashed, and we're so strong that we take on Yoshiel, we take on Paro Nechal, Yoshiel, and then Yoshiel dies in that battle, then things are falling apart, and then 4 years into Yoyakim, his successor, Bavel becomes a big shot, and Yirmiyahu says, give in to Bavel, that's your punishment for not listening to me for the last 23 years. Yoakim doesn't listen, he rebels, he dies, his son takes over and puts up a white flag and goes, that saves Jerusalem. The Babylonians make Tzidkiyahu king, and then on the condition he becomes vassal to the Babylonians, and that happens for 4 years. In the fourth, fifth year, big shot begins to rebel again against the Babylonians. The Blitz Abram comes in, wipes out Yerushalayim, sends the rest of people into exile, and that's it for Bait Rishon. And Yirmiyahu was trying to get the people, remember, to give in to Babel, to save the temple and save the city. And then we talked about that when, as soon as the false prophets say, no, rebel, and God said to rebel, and God will help you, and they don't listen to Yirmiyahu, that's when the Shekhinah leaves. That was a turning point. Now, during those 11 years, after the first wave of exile is in Babel, and the people remain in Yerushalayim, and some are in Babel. Yirmiyahu is still in Yerushalayim, trying to get people to give in to Babel, to prevent another rebellion. But he sees the writing on the wall, it's not happening. And therefore, he's going to send a letter to the people in Babel, yeah, to tell them what they need to be, what their purpose is. So, Parakhaptet, Ele Divrei HaSefer, Asher Shalach Yirmiyahu Nevi, Yerushalayim, remember, Ele Divrei HaSefer, remember what did Yirmiyahu Tzkat say to do? Write down, in Tarek Lamed, write down three things in a book. And he wrote this to Yeter Zikni Agula, Velakonim, Velavim, Velkola'am, Asher Ublad, Mevchadas, Mishem, Bevela. Send them to the community that went into exile with Yehoyachim. The first wave of exile. That's the same exile that Daniel went into, the same exile that Mordechai's grandfather went into. Mordechai ben Yervich Mekish, Asher Ublad, Yerushalayim, Velkola. Yes, that's the thing. When the big shots left Jerusalem, he sent it with diplomatic mail going to Babel. He said, going to Babel, take this letter for the Jewish community. Because they didn't have internet then. Pasuk Dalet. This is the only nevuah of Yirmiyahu that Am Yisrael ben Makbidan. Build houses and settle down. What else? We took a note, plant orchards, vineyards. Got it? Takes years till you start getting fruit. Don't give up hope. Build community, settle down, build houses. Start a community, have children. Why? V'dushur shlom ha'er shigvet et hamshama, v'palu v'ada, el Hashem, ki b'shom ha'yel hamshalom. Pray that your local government has quiet and peace, because that'll keep you peace. You're pretty much dependent on the local government. So pray for them. Because basically what he's saying, you ain't going back so soon. The false prophets are telling them, no, in a year or two, what do you mean? It's like, building a house is like printing a hardcover Kinos book. How can you do such a thing? It was unheard of until like 10, 15 years ago. You know that? No one ever printed hardcover Kinos books. You won't find anything. You'll find sinners left and right. Kinos was always softcover, wasn't it?
Shouldn't
have been.
That's why it should
be. Well, it should be, yeah. It was unheard of until Art School had a, you know.
Boy.
Yeah, and then Van Korn had to follow up, you know, follow everyone. And now we bet, you know how much money the publishers would lose if God would bring Mashiach. And we wouldn't have to show up with the,
because
I can't crash.
They'll come up with something else.
What?
We could learn that, you know, what people use.
Oh, we can say we can learn what they did. It can be an historical, libraries of life. Or,
maybe then we'll understand what that is.
Antiques. Antiques. Yeah. Here's what the Jews used to say. Don't listen to the false prophets again. They're telling you you're coming back in a year or two about those falling. Don't listen to them. Why? Pasuk Yud. You're not coming back in a year or two or three or four, like the false prophets were saying. Rather, you have a long haul. You have 7 years of Babel until you get back. No. And do you think it's bad? It's for your good. I'm giving you this for your good. You think it's bad news? It's good news. Because if you were in Yerushalayim, you wouldn't have a future. You guys are lucky you're in exile. No. What's going to happen after the 7 years? What needs to happen? I'm going to bring you, for the next 7 years, you're stuck in Babel, but then I'll bring you an opportunity to return. What do you need to do? What do you need to do? You have to want to return. You have to beg for God to bring you back, and pray to me. And I'll think, no, it's, don't pray. It's like what's called tefillat shav. Don't pray for something that's impossible. Don't pray that God bring you back for the next. You know, while Babylon's in charge for those 7 years of Babylonian rule. And it means to just build your communities and be good. When it's over, then I can bring you back, but you have to want to come back.
Is tzedek and mishpat only in Israel?
We'll see. We'll talk about it in a minute. Okay. Ubikashtem otim mitzatem, ki yirshun v'chol alavchem. If what? If you search for me, and you look for me, then if you doresh me v'chol alavchem, then nimtzeti lechem b'm Hashem, v'shabti tzvutchem, v'kibatzei kli min hakamei hakom, v'tashri dapte, v'sham b'm Hashem, that's the last time, because you're saying no. You're putting your trust in these false beliefs. No, listen to me. It's going to take a long time. Now, why is this important to know? You have to pass this Masorah down. Now, whether that's important, that's all there is to do. The Chutzlars is to be build a trust community. But you're Jewish, you're not a nation, you don't have an army. You don't represent God at the national level, but you can build a just community.
So why isn't it mentioned again?
Well, he is. He's going to mention it. Yeah. He's been mentioning his whole book.
Yeah, because I'm saying usually it's there. Here it doesn't.
Yeah. You'll see it in a minute. Yeah. What I'm saying is, why do we have to pass this down to the next generation? Because should an opportunity come when the 7 years are over to return, what do we need to know? Not just to return, but be ready for return and want to return. Now, with this in mind, open up the book of Daniel. You've heard of Daniel? Thanks, we say davening a lot. If you know outside history, the Babylonians were in power for about 70 years, give or take a year or two. And the end of the rule, there was a people called the Medes, Madai. There's Parasu Madai. So Koresh was a Persian king, Paras. But he took over Madai, and Madai, the first takeover of Babel was by Madai for a couple of months, and then Paras took over everything. So there was a king, there was a Madai king named Dayavesh ben Achashverosh. That's going to be Perek Tet in Daniel. I'm sorry, Daniel Perek Tet. That's not our Dayavesh of Chagai and Zecharia, and it's not Achashverosh of the Megillah. This is an earlier one, but this pasuk confuses people. Daniel Perek Tet. Ashur Lacha Machut Kasdim. They're the ones who sort of took over first the Kasdim, and then the Persians took over later. בשעת אחד למחור, אני דניאל בינותי והספרים, מספר שנים, השעייה דבר שם ירמיה הנביא, למות חוב בת משם 70 שנה. So, Daniel was making his bonus already, hey, a big political event is going on here. He started checking the books, what did Yirmiyahu say, blah, blah, blah. And he said, hey, it's time. And what does he do? Look carefully. Pasuk Gimel. Ve'nat panai el Adonai Elohim levakesh tefillah v'tachmim v'tzom v'sak v'efer. Ve'palah l'ashem alei v'tvada v'amra ana asher ha'am kadol ha'anura shmar b'tvah chesed l'avav chatana v'avinu lo shaman l'avodach, he gives the whole thing what we did wrong. Okay? פסק זרי, נחש המצדקה, ולנו בו שאת הפנים כמוזר, די שיודה וישב ישראל, מכו ישראל קרובים, חולקים החרצות, שיתקתם שם במעלה, משום מלובי, השם לנו בו שאת הפנים, נחש, all the stuff you say in davening, and then how bad we were, we broke your shvua, we broke your law, you sent us out.
This is around the same time? I mean,
this is as Babel is falling.
As Babel is falling.
What is Daniel doing?
Yeah.
He's fulfilling what Yirmiyahu said to do, he's davening. He's not there. He's not there. He's not there. He's not there.
It's an atheret tefillah.
Yeah. First, it's his own tefillah. Okay. And pasuk yitzayin. V'atash ma'alahinu tefillat abdecha. Yatuchna v'ayar panecha mikdashcha shamei l'madon alai. Hatar ezer shmaf kach inecha rishmatim ashen kresh ilech alai. Yilat zitkatein ma'am mikdashcha v'ki achorach marbim ad nashma atzlacha. What we say in davening. People don't realize that's where tefillah comes from.
Meaning until now you had no, oh, there was
you
no, there was no reason for davening, for this type of a davening.
You can daven for shalom, you can daven for refuah, you can daven for arich v'selmim, for health, etc. But you don't daven to return to Israel.
Because it wasn't attainable.
Yeah. But now that Babel has fallen, they can come back home again. Okay. There's certain times that you're in quarantine. You can't come back, you're until it's gone. Now, quarantine is over. Now you don't want to come back. People may have such a nice time that they might want to stay there.
An eight ratzon?
Yeah.
Did the years work up that he could be in the Megillah? We say that he's really...
No, there's no way, because that's a Farsi, there's no way, that's a Madai, all the Parshim say, it's not the same Achashverosh in the Megillah.
No, Daniel. Meaning, can Daniel be the man who brings the messages on behalf of Esther? Regarding
whether Daniel is Chatach, he could be. Not historically, but...
Oh, well, that's what I meant. Historically.
No, historically, not this. We'll talk about this pretty soon. So that's the background. Now the first line, we saw the first line of the Book of Ezra, didn't we? The first line of the Book of Ezra, just flip the page, at the end of Daniel. The first line of Ezra, sure enough, what happened? Mishnah tachat the Koresh, Melech Paras, the Chod Parash, Arif, Yer, Miyaw. Hey, Hashem, it's Rav Koresh, Melech Paras, Yer, Kol, Bachut, Tov, Limor. Everyone knows he's talking, right? Kol, Mar, Hashem, Elei, Yisrael. Komar Hashem, I'm sorry. Komar Koresh Melech Paras. Kol Satan Mi Hashem Elei Hashamayim Hu Nepakar Alay Nivnot Dubai Yerushalayim Eshev Yehuda. Yibachem Bechol Amo Yalav Imo Yal. By the way, Koresh, we see in Persian world, he said, so ask them whatever it is. There's the good God of heaven and the bad God. There's a good God and a bad God. It's good and evil. And the good God, and the God who's allowing to take over is Marduk. It was in the Sar cylinder. He's praising Marduk all the time. We give him the ability to return. But he wants everyone to go back and praise all their gods. Because they have a multiple, they have a polytheistic system. There's lots of gods out there. And every nation has their god. Says everyone, and what Koresh did, unlike the Babylonians who exiled people to different lands, when the Persians take over their empire, the Babylonian empire, they change the policy 180 degrees. And instead of exiling people, they allow everyone in their empire to go back home and build their temples, just be good citizens, and it works great because Babel people hated them, and the Persians people loved them. So they took advantage of that, and the Persian empire lasted for hundreds of years and was super strong. And they became Yehudat Kush.
Isn't it like the Jews today that the Jews then just don't want to build a temple?
That's what happened, pretty much. Now what happened? A couple of B'nai Kibbutz make Aliyah, the rest send money, and.
Marduk is the god over all the gods?
Marduk is pantheon. No, he's like the head of the pantheon. Zeus. Marduk is the son of Tiamat, from Crete. There's a whole thing there, but he's very well known. Now, the Babylonian kings, Marduk is in their names. Ebel Merodach took over for Nebuchadnezzar. Merodach Baladan, and Baladan was another Babylonian king earlier.
Mordechai
is named after the same god. Mordechai is not a Jewish name. No one in Bible Rishon is called Mordechai. Mordechai is a classic example of a Jew born years into exile. were assimilated. Doesn't mean he's not religious, but these Jews wanted to get one. Parents wanted to make sure he got into medical school and gave a good Galatian name. And he's working for the government, isn't he? He's Yosef HaChatzar HaMelech. He could even be like, you know, a Supreme Court justice or something. So he's definitely a big shot in the government. He's not a nobody. He's in the Chatzar HaMelech. You don't get to a position like that if you're Jewish, and he doesn't want anyone to know that his cousin or his niece is Jewish either, right? He'd want Esther to people know her thing. He was probably trying to, what do you call it, keep himself.
Unless he was in charge of the Jewish.
No, but he seems to be an important person. But no, later they find out he's Jewish when he doesn't.
I'm saying he
doesn't not bow down to Haman because Haman is an anti-Semite there. But there's a malak. There's a struggle. There's a power struggle between Haman and Mordechai. Haman's making himself. You know, I'm next in line. I'm the mayor of Jerusalem.
Leon?
No, the one used to be. What?
Near Barkat.
No, near Barkat. Right. Now, he sees himself rising up because this guy's leaving soon. I'm taking over now, but what do you call it? But, no. They're done. Gidon Sar, right? There's a fight of succession between, and everyone likes Haman, and Mordechai doesn't accept it. So Haman wants to get rid of Mordechai, but he can't, so what's he going to do? This guy's Jewish. He finds out he's Jewish. He says, let's kill all the Jews. And that's his way, that's a power play. I don't think Haman starts as an anti-Semite. He starts as a power guy who wants to get rid of Mordechai. But to get rid of Mordechai, he's got to use anti-Semitism. That seems to be the story when you read the Megillah, if you follow the intrigue.
Right, and he can't get rid of Mordechai as Mordechai.
As Mordechai, that's exactly what he says. He says, you know, these guys, he does the thing because he hears that's the Am of Mordechai. But they're trying to leave a low profile of being Jewish. And in many ways, Mordechai endangered the entire Jewish people. No, you can blame him for all the trouble, because if you were in politics trying to become a biksha, they wouldn't hate us so much. This happening to us because of you.
Do you think Haman's pointing at Judeans per se only, or all the tribes that were in there that they all identified as Jews?
The Jews are all called Yehudim now. All the Jews from Yehud, because the area is called Yehud. When the Babylonians took over that area, the satrap was called Yehud.
Because Esther being a Benjamite, and more than that, I wonder if they felt.
He's an Ishi Mini, but that's Chumash telling that because we want to connect with that to Sha'ol. Now, what's really cool in Pasuk Zayin in the first parak of Ezra, "Vamelech Koresh utzir klei beit Hashem asher utzinu v'chanetzu v'sham eitim v'beit Allah v'yutzim Koresh v'lachlas ayamit v'tak gizbar v'sham nishesh patzal nasi." They killed him at Beit HaMikdash back already in Yerushalayim. Got it? Koresh gave the killed him at back already, even though the rabbis all tell you that when Achashverosh is making that party, using the killed him for the Beit HaMikdash, which is a midrash, meaning it's not historical, but rather it's thematic.
Why not? Because the same kelim could have been in and out.
But Achashverosh doesn't need the kelim in the Beit HaMikdash. He's got enough china. He's not using that old stuff from over 100 years back. We'll see in a minute. But what the rabbis are doing left and right, they're tying together what they're constantly doing through the midrash. They're consistently tying the plight of the Jews in the time of Megillat Esther to Yirmiyahu 70 years and are not returning. They don't say it explicitly. The Megillah doesn't say explicitly. What the rabbis are doing, it's implicit. It seems almost like satirical. And that's going to be the question. If the story of Esther is during Machi Paras, and whatever Achashverosh might have been, it's after the Jews could have returned, the question is going to be not only why did God save us, but rather, why were we almost destroyed? That would be a big question. Because we were this close to our destruction in exile, and somehow we were saved at the last minute. But the question is, what were we doing wrong? Why were we so close to destruction? So I'll just do quickly, as far as Koresh himself, just one line. You take my word, in Yishayel, what's called the second Isaiah, probably from the time of Koresh, he says, he's telling the people that Koresh, I appointed Koresh. Take a look in Derek Memhe. Yishayel Memhei. I won't get into the topic whether, but it seems to me that the second in chapter 40 of the book of Isaiah, he's a prophet. There's another prophet. We don't have no idea what his name is, but he's added to the book of Isaiah, and he's telling the people in the time of Koresh, that's not Koresh, that's God.
Where are you?
In the end of Perek Mandalit in Yishayel. There's Chayil Yaakov Yisok Yavdiata Yisartich Evadni and Pesach Havalev. 10:32. In chapter, in Perek Mandalit, Pesach Havalev, 44:21. Remember this, Yaakov, okay? You're still working for me. I created you to serve me, right? And don't abandon Israel. Mechiti Kav Shecha, I'm going to wipe out your old sins and give you a new start. Okay? Lanu Shamayim, he goes on. Why? Ki Gaal Shemet Yaakov, I'm redeeming you. And then in Pasach Avdalah, Kichom Hashem, Goalecha V'yotzerecha V'yibaten, Anochi Hashem Osei Kol Notei Shemayim Avedi Vokatz Piti, Vefirot Od Badim, because I'm God. Pasach Avav, Mekim Dvar Avdo, he's not fulfilling the word of Yirmiyahu. Vatzat Malacha V'yashrim, Omer Yushayim Tushav, Yirmiyahu Yidet Benena, Chorvite Akomei, Omer Yitzul Achorvi, Ben Artei Chovish, Omer Lekolesh Ruhi, Yuchok Chatsi Yashrim, Lemer Yushayim Tibbeda, Vechayim Vasei. Got it? Say, I'm the guy who created everything. I did create Yamsuf. I did everything. I'm the one who's going to bring you back to Jerusalem to keep my promise. And I'm the one who appointed Koresh to save you.
Well, it's Jerusalem.
Kom Hashem the Mishichol Koresh. Hashem Zdaki Bim Nod Lad Vanam Goyim Matnei Melachim Afateach. You're talking about that time Mishan Luis Tegero. I'm the one who made Koresh a big shot. I'm the one who made Beva open up the gates to Koresh and then take over. Ani Lefanech Elech. That's me, that's not you. And one more line. I'm telling you, that's not you, it's me. I got this already, and you don't even know who I am. The Navi is talking to Am Yisrael, telling them, that's not Balfour, that's God. I'm sorry, that's not Koresh, that's God. It's Koresh is success. God is using Koresh, just like he used the Nebuchadnezzar to punish you, he's using Koresh to bring you back. And that's the job of a Navi, how to interpret historical events. The Navi's telling the people, this historical event of Babel falling to the Persians, and Koresh taking over and allowing everyone to go back and build their temples, that's God. And therefore God's calling you to return.
So is the Purim story in reaction the Jews do not go back in the temple?
That's what I would suggest, yeah.
Is already built?
We'll see in a minute what this book now we'll go back to the book of Ezra. So there's this first wave of Aliyah under Koresh, and there's a lot of questions because this is really redemption, because it's 70 years since the Babylonians started in power and they fell. It's only 52 years since the temple was destroyed. Because there's a machlok that had to count for 70 years. It's been 70 years since the fourth year of Yehoiakim. But it's only been 50 years since the 18th year of Babel, the 11th year of Ezekiel. Remember the years. In other words, Hasrat Koresh is not 7 years after the Korban, it's 7 years after Babylonian rule began. But it's only 50 years after the Korban. So some people aren't sure, it's right there, some people really don't care, but some people make Aliyah. So they make Aliyah, you know, listen to them in Perek Bet, Perek Gimel, they try to start. They build a mizbech in Perek Gimel. They don't get started yet on the temple. Then they start building plans for the temple. And in Perek Daled, there's the first intifada. Because when they come to Jerusalem, they're far from a majority. They're a tiny minority. They have the rights to build this little temple on the place that Harba used to be. But there's Shomronim. There's all these different nations there who the Babylonians brought in who don't like these Jews coming in there. Go back to Europe, they say. We don't want you here. You can't. They become a threat. And therefore, they're going to start looking at Pasuk Daled, Pasuk Daled. The Amarets here are the local population. The local population are weakening the Jews who came back and scaring them from building. They have lobbyists writing to the Persian authorities. Pasuk Daled, Pasuk Eno. Koyim Koresh Melech Paras, Lanachu Dayavish Melech Paras. From the time of Koresh to Dayavish, there's a building freeze. It turns out there's 18 years of this building freeze, we'll see. In the second year of Dayavesh, remember from Hanukkah, that's when they break ground on the second temple. So the first wave of exile comes, and it's a dud.
So that completes the 70 years.
That completes the 70 years. The 70 years since Korban Avayim.
Yeah.
In the second year of Dayavesh is a new, there's a new administration in Babel. If you read in the book of Ezra, the next couple, talk about letters going back and forth, where the local population says, don't let them build a temple, give them a finger, they'll take a hand. These people were rebellious, they were rebellious, they gave the Babylonians a hard time, you can't trust them. Don't give them a foothold in Jerusalem because you know what they're going to do.
Was it a mistake
and
not
they
to?
No, we're fine. We just want to pray. Yeah.
Was it a mistake not to try to get an international coalition to help us build the temple? It is supposed to be an international house of God for everyone.
No. That's what the local population says. The local population says, we want to do this together.
Yeah, well, why not?
And times, no, this is just the Jewish people who can do this. This is going on allowed here. That's what they get into a fight about.
No, but was that a mistake?
It could be, but what happened was it was a building freeze in the fight. And now there's a new administration in Babel, Dayavesh. They write him a letter and say, hey, you know, look what your grandfather Koresh, whoever he was, did. You know, you want to be great? We'll pray for you. Let us build our temple. There's a sikhsuch between the Arabs and the Jews, and everyone's going back to the British. Who's going to get the British ear? If you can't get an analogy to nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
The British are sovereign over everything. The Persians are sovereign. There's local populations in Palestine arguing. And the question is, who's going to get the authority on what side? And now, between, if you look, if you're in Perek, we just read Perek Dal and Pasuk Hey, the next line is really interesting. In Pasuk Vav, there's a quick mention of Achashverosh that during the beginning of his reign things were bad. And Chazal they say, this Achashverosh is the Megillah, and he's the king between Koresh and Dayavesh. Understand? They put Achash between Koresh and Dayavesh, and he's the reason for the building freeze. Got it? He's the reason why there's a building freeze. And the reason why Dayavesh allows him to build the temple is because Dayavesh is none other than Esther's son. Understand? They put him there. If you look at the outside history, it doesn't match up. Because Achashverosh is the king after Dayavesh, like it seems there. And there's another king for a couple years in between. And now what we have to talk about now, we have a couple minutes left. If Achashverosh is the king after Dayavesh, what's happening during the time of Dayavesh to explain the holiday of Purim? I can understand why people don't make Aliyah until the temple is built, because they're not sure if it's really Rishis Mechatul Atenu. But once, in the second Dayavesh, they've been grounded on the second temple. That's Chagai and Zecharia. And things start moving. And they finish it in year 6 of Achashverosh, of Dayavesh. Once the temple is built and finished, what are they waiting for? And then the story of Purim is after Dayavesh. It's after the temple is built. And that's already a felony. If they just don't come back. Now, go to Zecharia Perek Zayin. Remember I told you in the second... Find Zecharia's right before Tehillim. Right before Tehillim is Malachi and Zecharia. Perek Zayin. I told you, in year 2 to year 6 of Dayavesh, they build the temple. They break ground in year 2 on Hanukkah, they finish in year 6 Purim time.
Where are you, Mr. Fred?
Zecharia Perek Zayin. There's a famous chapter in Zecharia Perek Zayin about the Jews asking
14.
In Perek Zayin, they send a letter to the rabbis in Jerusalem, okay, and ask a question, do we continue fasting on Tisha B'Av? Famous question. And God answers them, through Zecharia, and says, basically, don't ask me the abundance, ask me the derisives. I didn't ask you to fast. You want to fast, it's your problem. But, you know, basically, what are you asking? Is this the real thing or not? Is this the real Gullah? He's saying, don't ask me, ask yourselves. He says, I didn't ask you to fast, I didn't ask you to eat. What did I ask you to do? Pasuk Vav. V'chitokul v'chitishtu alo atem lochim atem v'shutim. And Pasuk Zayin. Halot et v'rem yashakra Hashem b'yam ha'adim ha'rishonim b'yot yushem yoshem v'du shleiva. All that God wants you to do when you come back now, don't repeat the same mistakes about Rishon. Just read, you don't need new prophets, read the old prophets. And look, why was the first temple destroyed? And you know how not to behave now. And in case you forgot, and that was answering your question, in case you forgot, Zechariah reminds them, Vayidu Hashem Zechariah Lemor, Kol Marshem Zvot Lemor, Mishpat Temet Shvot, Chesed Brachmim, Nasu Ishet Achiv, Ta'amana Beyetom Begev Ani Atashoku, Brat Ishet Achiv Atashoku Otchem. That's what I yelled at you in Bad Rishon. By Manud, actually, they didn't listen. They put up a cold shoulder. They didn't listen to him. They made their hearts like stone. And God got angry at them and scattered them around the nations in Pasuk Gimel. Yudal. That's when they're called going. And now, Derech Chet, he says, Now things are changing. God's now going to help you. I'm bringing you back. Plus the Gibel called Hashem Shati Otzion Barachamim. Shati Otzion, the Shechanti Pitof Yerushalayim, which might be called City of Truth and Justice. Remember old people be sitting and having a good time, you know, with their grandchildren playing. Pasuk Vav, you know, Pasuk Zayin, in Perchet. Ki Yom Kom Hashem, Kom Hashem, Tzvot, Yimni Moshi Atami, Meretz Mizrach, Meretz Mubo Hashemesh, Bebeit Yutam Veshachmi, Bitu Yerushalayim, Vayim Lulam, Nani Yem Lamin, Vayim Metin Tztaka. Do a Metin Tztaka, this would be great. Tzchai is telling the people, remember this is a delegation from Babel coming asking, what do we do now that the temple is built? He says, you're asking about fasting, it's myopic. Look at the big picture. God's calling you back. The worst is over. Well, I'm supposed to return. He says, I'm going to be with you, and you know, the count will be better. And then skip to Pasuk Yudalet. Kol Hashem Tzvot. Kasher zomamti l'arav v'ksiva t'avotem v'domar v'lo nichamti. Ki etshavti v'zomamti l'tiv l'chamti. Just like I went out of my way to punish you, I'm going out of my way to bring you back. And now comes the big lines. He's going to give more explicitly what Am Yisrael needs to do for this to work. In other words, I'm doing my side, I'm taking care of the historical events, I'm bringing Balfour, I'm bringing Koresh and Daryavesh, I'm enabling you to rebuild your temple and return to your land, but you have to do your side. And returning to Israel is not enough. Eilai b'remeshur tasu, Pasuk Tetzayin, davru emet ish et rehu. Remember that phrase? Emet mishpat shalom shivtu b'sharechem. V'ishet rat re'eyu, al tachshuv b'avchem. V'shvat shekel al tahavu. Ke'poed asher saneti no mashem. Then ve'ivar shem tzvot v'mol, kol mar shem tzvot. Tzom arvi b'tzom ha'chamishi v'tzom ha'shem v'tzom ha'sir yed lechem d'beit yud asus em siha. Vodim tovim, v'emet v'sham ha'avu. But fast days are going to turn into holidays. On what condition? To keep emet v'shalom. Remember those words, emet v'shalom? To become holidays. You know the fast day that later became a holiday? Was important originally a fast day? The first year was a fast day, we were about to be killed. The next year, what did Mordechai say? And what mitzvot do we do? I've heard of Maton of Yodim, that's the other part. The laws of Purim are sort of, we're acting in a way to be deserving of returning, and the fast days are turning into feast days. It's a fulfillment, it's recognizing Zechariah's message. Now, that's why he gives this grand finale. Kol Hashem Tzvot Od Hashir Yevo Amim Yoshvi Amim Marbot Vohu Yoshvi Achat Avahat Emor Lecholof Lachlof Pnei Hashem Vakei Shem Tzvot Yochai Gamali Uba Amim Rabim Vakei Matzumim Vakei Shem Tzvot Yerushalayim Vakei Pnei Hashem. The time will come where great nations are going to come. Got it? Not just the Jews are going to return, other nations are going to come for guidance, just like Isaiah chapter 2. How we started the year? I mean, do anything?
Where are you now?
Pasuk HaKimona Kol Hashem Tzvot Yamim Mahima. When other nations are coming and you guys are doing great and you're in Yerushalayim and built the Mikdash and everyone's looking up to you because you're doing Mishpat and Staka and you have a great society. Okay. They'll be so crowded, there'll be 10 people waiting for the audience of an Ish Yehudi to guide them in Yerushalayim to the ways of God.
Is that after the temple's built? Or?
This is now the temple's being built, almost finished. That's Chai's message, what can be, if you guys come back and fulfill this goal. If you do Emet Mishpat Shivtu B'Sharachem and Emet Ben Ishvarim. Now, that phrase Ish Yehudi is two times in Tanakh. Where does Chai say the Ish Yehudi should be?
In
Yerushalayim. In the Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, Abira. And making a name for God. Abira. And what's his name? Making a name for whom?
Marduk.
For Marduk. And what became the new Bira? Not Yerushalayim, but Shusha. That pasuk is like full of satire, if you know Zechariah. And that could be, that's why that pasuk might be, the word Bira is only used in relation to Beit HaMikdash beforehand. When Shlomo builds a Mikdash, it's called HaBira Sherechinoti. And Mordechai is not a Jewish name. So, if indeed Ahasuerus is the next king, and we're talking about 10, 20 years after the temple is rebuilt, and no one answers Chaya's call, no one really answers until Ezra makes Aliyah. That's going to be a fair sign in the book of Ezra.
Are they suggesting work out your halachic problems in building the Beit HaMikdash? It may only be politics, but God says build it anyway. work it out and just start. I mean,
no, that's what happened. They started. They built things out, and they got the okay. Because Haggai riled the people up, and people were interested and wanted to be God's people again. But it's not only building the temple that's important. It's how the people were building the temple, how they're acting.
Building a society.
Yeah, building a society. The temple is just a symbol of that society. So I have a page for you. It has all this stuff. Here's my page. This one.
You're a builder.
Oh, that's it, yeah.
That's the Marta back. Is one of the Taryag to build the Beit HaMikdash?
It's not a Tivon, the Yachid. The Tivon, the Tivon, the king. Not every person, you know, that's a question. Do you need a Nabi? Like, who takes the initiative to build the Mikdash? No, it's who's in charge? Like, who? Like, you as a person aren't chayv, I'm Yisrael as chayv. But God has to tell you, you need a Nabi pretty much to decide his time and things like that. What do you do when there's no Nabi? That's a big question. There's no chiyuv to return unless God brings you back also. So quickly, if you look at the page, so that HUD we talked about, and then we just read the psukim from Chayot Rachel on the right that explains HUD. The word Bira is from Divrei Yamim, and the name Marduk from the Babylonian Kings. See the three boxes there? That's sort of mix them together. Yeah. That puts them together, and then in the middle there is the psukim from Yirmiyahu we read at the beginning of this year. And then in the Megillah there's a couple things that they tie them together. The main thing I want to do is read for you that there's a minhag of Purim. But the main thing is look on the bottom right, or look in your Tanakh real quick. Look in Megillah, the end of Megillah in Parak 10. Everyone knows the laws of Purim, Mishlach HaKishrei, Yamim. For some reason, there's a need to send a second letter, right? To explain the laws of Purim, because it didn't catch on. So in Perek Tet, Pasach HaPet, in the end of Megillah Esther, Esther Mordechai had to write a second letter to explain and encourage the people to keep the laws of the first letter. Remember? But the Ketov Esther Malkav HaTavichayim, Perek Tet, Pasach HaPet. Mordechai Yudit Kotoka Pekadit Get the Purim Zot HaShemi. What's in the second letter? What's that? Sounds like, you know, just hello. If you know it's Charya, Dibrei Shalom Vemed is what? It's the reason for the festivities become holidays. And the whole message of Dibrei Shalom Vemed is a summary of Charya Perek Zayin Chet, isn't it? About what you need to do. Which explains the reason for Matot Levyonim and Manot Yisrael. And Mishav Simcha. And what's he say that? Why did he say that? The Kaimit Meir Pur Meir Bismanim Kashur Kima Le Mordechai Aydin Bester Makav. The Kashur Kima Nafsham Bazaram Dibre Tzavok Bazakatam. Just like we kept the fast days to remember Yerushalayim, the four fast days. Now we're keeping a feast day to remember Yerushalayim. It's taking right back to Zecharia. So that's what I'm suggesting that now the author of the Megillah doesn't spill the beans. He keeps it. No. He hides God's name out there, doesn't he? Because he's hiding a lot of things in the book. But that's his that's the question. When you read Begat Esther, is the author of Begat Esther assuming you know Zechariah and alluding to the fact that the Jews didn't return and didn't fulfill their goal? And if we're going to celebrate Purim and remember that thing, then it's not just remembering you have to make Aliyah, remember how you have to behave. Therefore, not every generation can come and make Aliyah, but every generation can build a just community. And that's the Matot Levyonim and I'm sure Yishul Reigel.
What do you think the last parak 10 is adding to the story?
Yeah, that's complicated, but I heard a good answer for a friend. Yeah. We have to finish up, but I heard for a friend of mine that the first chapter and last chapter really aren't necessary, but when someone's censoring a book, you know, what's he look at? He's not going to read the whole book. Look at the beginning, look at the end. So they made the beginning and end look nice and clean. So it's all about how good, I thought we're good versions. That hit it from everybody else.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Shabbat Shalom.